You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right, we're getting started. We're starting. This is starting the podcast episode. This is Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Rabin, and this is episode 113. I have done a lot of these, or a few, depending on your perspective of podcasts that you follow. A lot of people have started podcasts after me. A lot of people started them years before me. It's not a competition unless you like getting paid. All right. You know, this is... There's no reason to obsess, and I don't think it's necessarily it's envy. It's more just kind of confusion, because obviously there are people on YouTube who have millions of followers who do next to nothing. I follow people who don't do hardly anything but watch things. I watch people watch. I get it. But I talked about, and I shouldn't even bring them up again, but it really irritated the shit out of me this week, because I realized I had and I realized that I've promoted him, but you know, check this guy out, YouTube channel. But I said it incorrectly. I said that the YouTube channel was Brandon Loves Movies. No, I gave him too much credit. It's Brandon Likes Movies, as in movies. Yeah, they're okay. Yeah, I like them. They're adequate. But yeah, it's called Brandon Likes Movies. The guy's got a lot of followers for what he does or doesn't do. It's crazy. Like, it's not a whole lot. It's like 50,000 or so. And like some movies that he watches, he'll get like 100,000 people, you know, 20 to 100,000 people watch that video, including my dumbass on a couple of them. But it's just, I think what made me upset about it is not the confusion of that many people going, hey, do you want to watch a pasty, doughy, ginger idiot watch movies that he doesn't understand? Yeah, that sounds great. Like, I didn't know why there would be that many people that did that. But what irritates me is he comes at it like he's never heard of anything of those movies. Like, he's experiencing them like classics for the first time. And it's like, what the fuck have you watched for 20 years? So I think he's full of shit. And especially, and it's not like he doesn't know anything about them. He acts like he doesn't. But I shit you not, I've seen him like in clips of movies that are easy to understand. And he's just kind of like staring at it like it's a magician, and he's like trying to figure it out, and it's like there's not a mystery here, guy. But then he watches. Oh, it made me mad. And you'll those of you who know me and know how many times I've brought up Fight Club know how much this makes me upset. He watched Fight Club, right, and pretends that he's never heard anything, any references to it. He's never heard any kind of, you know, information about it, and then pretends that he figures out the big twist in Fight Club before it happens. Are you fucking kidding me? Really? You figured it out? Get out of it. You stared at Pulp Fiction like it's like, this isn't linear. You know, it just, oh, the balls of this idiot. To, you know, and of course, see that, and the thing is that it's not so much the views that kill me. What kills me is the number of people that like the video and don't dislike it when he pulls that bullshit. He's got like way more, it's like nobody, not that many people dislike it. It's all like, yay, good for this kid. He just discovered a really good movie that I like. Come on, man. Come on, you guys. You got to give it a thumbs down. If you're really bored out there, do me a favor. Find Brandon Likes Movies, Fight Club, and give it a big thumbs down. It doesn't matter. None of this matters. That's why I like focusing on it, because who the fuck cares? I know. All right, I got really upset. I don't know if you've had a dream that made you upset. I'm sure everybody has, where you think about it and it's like, you know, and I've been upset before by my dreams where I wake up and I'm like, I didn't have that money. And what really is disappointing is like when you get money in your dream, like I'm rich or whatever. But like when I don't like when, you know, in make-believe land, when I'm asleep, that I get money and it's like not a lot. So it's more believable. It's like 20 grand. Like that was the last time I came, I don't remember, I earned it or came across money. And I woke up and I'm like, oh, I didn't have the 20 grand. And then I just kind of sat there for a second and went, 20 grand? What, I couldn't get 100K? I couldn't make 100K happen in my imaginary world. I really have like low expect, like even my, you know, sub, my, you know, unconscious, subconscious or whatever is just like lowballing me. It's got really low expectations. I'm like, ooh, what if we came up with $50? Like it's really, really not trying. It has very, yeah, it doesn't have a whole lot of belief in me. I don't know what it is. But what really made me upset, and it's very meaningless, but I spent a long time in this one dream, or at least I perceived it to be a long time. The majority of the dream was I was distracted by trying to figure out the name of the band that sang this one song that I had in my head, and I kept scrolling, looking in Spotify in my dream. So I had my cell phone and access to Spotify in my dream, and I kept looking for this band, and I knew it was a band in the late 70s. You know, it's not Bad Company. It's not ELO. And I kept thinking about it, and I kept thinking and looking, and I was like trying to nail it. And I woke up, and I realized as I'm, you know, as you know, when you come out of a dream and you're like going, and then suddenly you're like, oh, I know who I am really. And it's the garbage fire year 2020. And you know, reality starts hitting, but you still remember that dream for a short period of time. And then all of a sudden, so like reality hit make-believe and it came together. And the realization was the song that I was thinking about and the band that I was thinking about that sang that song both didn't exist. There was no song, there was no band. That's why I didn't find it. And that made me upset that I wasted valuable dream time looking for a non-existent, you know, prog rock band. That sucked. I love that's been on my mind like, oh man, I got mad the other day. You know what happened? I invented a band in my brain when I was asleep. Oh man, that sucks. You know, other things are going on in the world, right? Yeah, well, this is what's bothering me. I did one other thing. Oh yeah, this is it's been 4 weeks. I said a month ago that I would give you an update on my experiment, my phone screen time experiment. And the experiment was, for those of you who didn't listen to that episode, and this is their, if this is your first time listening, hey, welcome. Are you confused? It's fine. It's not very long. Thanks for joining me. The idea was, is for the amount of screen time that my Android phone, because there's an app that's, an app. It's just a link to like a certain section in the in like the settings or whatever, but it's the digital well-being, which is really hippie sounding. But it tells you the screen time, the usage, and the whole idea was the amount of screen time on my phone, I had to equal it every day with either exercise or reading. And this is to was to encourage me not to use my phone as much because I don't like reading. I mean, I do like reading, but like it's hard to motivate myself to read for some reason, because I guess I'm like, you know, it's where all our attention spans are shit. I don't know. So I've been trying that, and it is actually now it was kind of a failure by the end because I wasn't reading as much. I was reading every day for a while there, but I have been consistently exercising. But the adding the reading to it has been a failure. However, on an average, I average screen time is 90 minutes a day, which is pretty fucking good compared to how terrible everybody is with their phones. So I feel pretty good about the experiment because I'm not staring at my phone all day. So, you know, less than 10% of my day spent staring at my phone, and that feels good to me that I'm doing that. I'm a little disappointed in my reading, but, you know, one thing at a time, I guess. But also, you know, it's not a contest. I don't know. It's that's, you know, so I encourage you to, you know, if not reading, find something to trick yourself into not staring at your phone. I think it's beneficial. It's, you know, too much social media. Get off of Twitter. Don't stare at your phone so much. Watch a show that depresses you or inspires, depending on who you are. All right, you guys. So I don't know how your week has been. My week has been interesting. A lot of ups and downs. It's been kind of a stressful week. None of it I want to get into. It's just not a, you know, it's not anything that's weighing on me or anything like it. I feel kind of exhausted on a Wednesday. It's like it's, you know, it's only halfway done, but it's fine. At one point, I did say on Saturday, it was either Saturday or Sunday, I read. The news article I read was that it was about a 150-pound tortoise that this woman owned, like his own since, you know, the tortoise was like a little tiny tortoise and like a baby, and they, you know, has had it for like I don't remember how many years. It's like a long time she's had this tortoise, but he's 150 pounds, and he got out of his area and was missing for 74 days. And, you know, she contacted everybody. It's in Tennessee, and she contacted everybody and, you know, the different wildlife preserves and zoos, and like, you know, had signs up. And finally, he was spotted at a construction site like a quarter of a mile away, which makes sense. Even gone 74 days, he's probably not hauling ass. And he was fine. You know, he's real hungry, but, you know, it turned out to be okay. And, you know, it was real, you know, they got him cleaned up and everything. And she was reunited with her 150-pound tortoise. And that was the news article. And I read it and I went, you know what? That's it. That's the only news happening today. My brain's like, no, John, there's actually other articles. No, that's the only news that happened today. I don't know. There's something about the Democratic Net. No, listen to me. That's the only news that happened. The end. We are not visiting any other news source. We're not looking at anything else. Close the browser. We're done. We're done for the day. That's the only thing that happened. And you know what? It was a good day. That was the only news to me that happened. And it was right here. Enjoyed it. Felt really good because it just didn't, you know, sometimes it's like, let's distract ourselves with other bullshit and give our brain a rest from all the, from everything weighing on you. You know, it's like a, it's like staying home in the pandemic and stuff for like the first few months. It was, you know, you're just kind of sitting there. You're being very introspective, right? And you just, you really, you know, you miss the things that you miss. And you, you're like, oh, I miss my old life or whatever. And you come to grips with that. But then you start, you know, you get this new perspective when you're, you know, you're reflecting over things and, you know, looking at yourself in the mirror, like every day. You know, not going out as much and all that, and you just kind of, and you're reflecting on your life, and all of a sudden you really, it really like adjusts your perspective about what's important, what's really important in life, like not the arguments on social media and all the stuff going on, but what's really important. So you really focus on that, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to turn things around. I'm going to change things. And it's like, you know what? I learned something about myself. And you think, all right, let's get back to it. Let's open things up. I'm going to make the change and everything's going to be good. But then the pandemic just kept going. And you're still having to stay home. And you're still isolating and being introspective. Now you've been introspective for too long, so you're no longer reflecting on yourself. Now it's time to reflect on others, because you've already, you know, analyzed your life too much. You've looked at it too much and you're bored. So now it's like, you know what, time to analyze other people. Who's really causing this bullshit? Who can I blame for me being unhappy? And who can I attack? And that is why everything sucks right now, because we're all looking for something to attack to make us feel better about ourselves, or just to distract us. Like, who can we, let's see, who's an easy target that I can find online? Who can I yell at that's not wearing a mask? Or if I'm on the other side, wearing a mask. I don't know. Let's politicize protective clothing. So that's what I think. I think we've had way too long to look at ourselves, and we got bored, and now we're looking at other people again. We've come full circle. That's what's going on. So yeah, you can't be introspective that long. After a while, it's like, now it's, you know, it clearly this is also someone else's fault. So let me distract you with a thing and then we'll get out of here. All right. All right. So I told you guys about when I proposed to my fiance, I used the service Cameo to get Michael Rapaport to do a congratulations on your engagement video. And it kicked ass. Played a small clip for it, all that, a couple weeks ago. So Cameo is a website or an app that has all the celebrities, different personalities, like sports, you know, actors, comedians, YouTube, reality TV shows, all these different people. They have a fee that you could pay. And if you pay it and tell them what you want, that they'll create a 2 to 3 minute video and send to you with that information for that amount. And their pricing to do this is either extremely affordable or a little pricey, depending on who it is, right? So because I did that thing, Cameo, because of the algorithm and stuff, like kind of like when you go to Amazon and you look at a thing that you're thinking about buying, but then you don't buy it, and then anytime you're web browsing, you'll see an ad for that object pops up, that algorithm or whatever, that data that they capture, and they go, keep putting it in their face and they'll eventually buy it. So the same kind of thing happens with Cameo. I get ads for Cameo all the time when I'm looking at Instagram or, you know, I'm on the web or whatever. It's always popping up going, hey, guess who's on Cameo now? Your favorite college basketball coach. Really? I have one? Like, it's odd. So it just keeps popping up. But anyway, I was... So that's been happening. But then I've been avoiding the news in relation to the Republican National Convention that's going on this week, in the same way that I avoided the news during the Democratic National Convention last week. I've just been avoiding them because I have no interest. It's bizarre to me that there are people at this point, after the past 4 years, after this crazy fucking year from March on till now, who are undecided as to which way they're going to vote. It's weird to me that clearly you're going to go one way or the other. Like, you feel pretty strongly one way or the other. If you don't, I don't know what the fuck is going on with you. But if you're that, like, if you really don't pay attention and you're really into yourself to where none of this is, you know, has not changed your life at all, which is weird, I doubt, or that politics is not your thing, so that you don't know because, you know, it's not really, you're not really paying attention to politics, which is, you know, God bless you, then there's no way you're going to watch any of these speeches. So I don't know who the RNC and the DNC are for. They're fucking boring. I don't know who they're for, and they're not telling you anything. It's either a politician that, you know, the people that speak are either politicians that say the things that you already know they're going to say. Nobody ever, you don't see somebody that you're familiar with and it's like, oh, that fucking guy. And then he starts talking, you're like, wow, I had no idea he felt that way. Come on. Or it's just some, you know, or it's some rando weirdo. Like a sideshow kind of thing. It's just, you know, you've got the Democratic National Convention had some celebrities, you know, it was remote. So they had some celebrities that just hosted, like Eva Longoria hosted like the first night, I think. And, you know, it just had a different host, but then it had all the politicians speaking and just. And then, you know, the Republican National Convention, they have Scott Baio. Chachi. And people from viral videos. It's weird to me. It's just, I don't understand when the most exciting thing that happens to you, to your RNC, the most exciting thing that happens in the night is, you know, a fiery speech from the president's less popular son's girlfriend who just yells the whole time. This is what we're doing? This is like, you just kind of look and you're like, Jesus Christ, I don't give a shit. And so they're dull, and they cost millions of dollars. Granted, no audiences, no in the conferences, you know, the things have been way cheaper this year than they have been in the past. In the past, have been millions and millions and millions of dollars, conventions, you know, just taking up hotel spaces and costing lots of money for the cities that host them and all that, you know, having to pay their, you know, police and the city and the different utilities and everything extra, you know, overtime and all this other stuff. There's all this stuff, and it's just dull. So I started thinking about Cameo because it keeps popping up. And I thought to myself, clearly, there's a better way to put together a lineup that's way more exciting for way less money. How about instead of spending millions of dollars How about instead of spending hundreds of thousands of dollars? How about instead of spending tens of thousands of dollars, you let me put together the JRNC, the John Rabin National Convention, and I spent an unreasonable amount of time doing this when I could have really been planning something else for my podcast, but this is it. This is what I spent time on doing. I went through Cameo. I like I said, I don't recommend you do that necessarily unless you like ads from the service to continually to pop up in your fucking face, because they will. But I have put together 10 speakers for my national convention. I'm not running for president, but I'm just doing the convention for my political party. And we, you know, each speaker is going to have 2 to 3 minutes depending on how long their video is. So you're talking about an entire convention that isn't multiple days. No day one, no day two, fuck day three. 30 minutes. It's a 30-minute long convention. It's got way bigger names than the DNC and the RNC combined. Here's my lineup in order for the JRNC. First up speaking, Redman. Redman's gonna fucking open it up. Goddamn right he is. Following him, Oscar De La Hoya. You're goddamn right. He's gonna know my name. Oscar De La Hoya is gonna tell you that I'm the shit. All right. Followed by, after him, is gonna be from Wayne's World, Tia Carrera. That's fucking right. Tia Carrera is gonna talk some shit and be all about me. She's third up, and I'm really happy about that. Following her is Hank from Breaking Bad, Dean fucking Norris. I'm not kidding. The guy is on Cameo, and he's going to be there, and he's going to get, you know, that demographic's going to come in. And he's going to speak. Following him, I'm going to get the potheads involved, and on my side, Tommy fucking Chong is going to speak. Tommy Chong is going to lay down the law when it comes to me, I'm guessing. Also very affordable, by the way, Tommy Chong. Following him, we have actress, musician, she says, Sasha Grey. Yeah, that's Sasha Grey, the musician. All right. Former porn star Sasha Grey is following Tommy Chong. So that's got that demographic. And then... That's 1 through 6, right? How do we close it out with the last four? What are we going to do? I say we go back to the 80s. I say we get up, you know, we've probably lost a little bit of energy after the pothead and the porn star. Former porn star, I'm sorry. She does music now. Then we bring in former WWE superstar Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Oh, Hacksaw Jim Duggan comes in. I shit you not. He's on Cameo. Following him, you know who it is? It's Tawny Catane. The Tawny Catane. She's in Bachelor Party. That's how I kind of first knew who she was. But no, she is the chick on the car in the Whitesnake video. She's in 4 Whitesnake videos. The Tawny Catane is on Cameo, and she's definitely at the JRNC. 2 people left. How do we close out the show? 2 people left. David Hasselhoff. You're goddamn right. David Hasselhoff is your second to last speaker. He's going to bring it home. And then we close it out. We're in the 80s. We close it out with the one and only, the only person who could headline this shit, the Dice Man, Andrew Dice Clay. And that's the JRNC. Now, that's a fucking lineup. 30 minutes, all of those people. And you know what? I don't think I really ended that the way I should have. Let's do this. Let me do a thing here. Hang on. All right, we're going to close it out with Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And then you know who's next? I'll tell you who's next. That's right, it's Tawny Catane. Tawny Catane's gonna come up, and then following Tawny Catane, it's David Hasselhoff. And then our headliner, the one and only Dice Man, Andrew Dice Clay. ending our 80s block of the JRNC.
All right. Okay, I think that's enough. All right, hang on.
All right, I think I blew out my vocal cords. Anyway, is that not better? And you know what? That lineup of 10 could cost, you could do that. You'd do a 30-minute show, that lineup, like a Zoom comedy show for $1,669. That's all that cost for those people. And all, you know, way more entertaining, way more buzzworthy than both those conventions combined. Unbelievable. $1,669, that lineup. I'm telling you. If you got that money to blow, you could line them up. You know what you could do? You could have each person roast the person that, like, right before them. They're like, hey, David Hasselhoff, say something bad about Tawny Katane. And then, hey, Dice Man, say something bad about David Hasselhoff. Like, you could totally do that and just give them more money. I don't know. Anyway, $1,669. You have a killer lineup. Thank you, Cameo. It's beautiful. All right, guys. Thanks for joining me this week. Maybe we'll be able to talk about our week comfortably next episode. But you know what? I had a lot of fun tonight. I'm glad I could share it with you. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Raven. We'll see you next week. Later. Disconnect the telephone line. Gotta get away, get away, gotta get away for the Lord, don't make me stay. All I know should have been.